hear me clearly. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on. Before speaking, members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. So if we just go on to the first item of business, which is apologies and chairperson's remarks. So, Doreena, can you read out the apologies, please?
Yeah, we have apologies today from councillors Casey, Enright, O'Gribben, Traynor and Sharvin, and from the officers Kenneth O'Rourke, Michael Lipsett, Marie Ward, Eddie Curtis and Johnny McBride.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And just on the chairperson's remarks, I've just heard of the sad news of Councillor Enright's mother's passing, and I'd just like to add my condolences and the condolences of the Audit Committee and Council to Councillor Enright. Second item on the agenda then, is there anyone present today who has a conflict with any item on today's business? No. Sorry, Christine?
Chair, I'd like to just turn interest at item 28.
Okay, thanks for that, Christine. And the third item then is the action sheet. Again, if members have read the action sheet, are they satisfied that all the actions are completed and that that those actions can be removed from the action list going forward? We'll take that as yes. Thank you. And that takes us on to item 4. And item 4 and 5 will be taken by Colette Keane from the Northern Ireland Audit Office. Colette, so if you can start with item 4, please, which is the annual audit letter for 15-16.
Thank you, Chair. The annual audit letter is for the previous year, 15-16, and is now on the website, the Council's website. It really is a standard document which is a reflection back on the audit of the financial statements for 15-16, and I suppose page 3 of the document gives the overall summary of the process. There are no specific issues which need to be brought to members' attention within that document.
Okay, thanks for that. Colette, any comments or questions from members? As Chair, if I can say that page 3 reads very well, and congratulate the officers, all the officers involved. Thank you. So we'll go to item 5, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is the audit strategy for the accounts for the year ended 31st of March 2017. Again, this is a standard document which members would have seen in previous years. It summarises the our approach to the audit of the financial statements for 2016-17, and I'll bring members' attention to a couple of things. So, paragraph 1.3 on page 1 outlines what those charged with governance are invited to consider, so that is the audit committee and what you're invited to consider today. So it is whether our assessment of the potential risks of material in the statement of financial statements is complete, whether management's response to these risks are adequate, whether our proposed plan is adequate to address these risks, and whether the financial statements could be materially misstated due to fraud and communicate any areas of concern to management and ourselves. So I'll just move you on then to outline that at paragraph 2.3. Our other approach is a risk-based approach. So we obtain a good understanding of the council, and then we assess the risks associated with the financial statement. We have not identified any areas of significant risk in respect of this audit. And then down to the bottom, we talk about of that page, a materiality. And just to highlight that at 2.13, we have estimated our materiality to be £1.4 million based on the prior year statement of accounts. And over the page, on page 3 of the document, you'll see under a paragraph headed Error Reporting Threshold at 2.16, we highlight that we have considered our amount of £25,000 as a trivial amount, and therefore any errors or misstatements found under that amount will not be brought to this audit committee. So in respect of the risks, as I said, we have no significant risks. We have some presumed risks which we're required to look at under our auditing standards, and those are highlighted at 3.2 and 3.3. I bring your attention to 3.3, which is the presumed risk of fraud in revenue recognition. And we will consider areas of potential risk in respect of revenue recognition, specifically areas where there's cash streams, and we carry out some testing around those in respect of the main cash income areas. And then down to paragraph 3.5, we have three risk factors. And you see there that we highlighted these, and some of these will be familiar because we have talked about them in previous years. The first of these is around the year-end accounts process. So we have raised some issues around the timeliness and sufficiency of response to our audit queries in previous years. So we'll be looking at how those have been improved and monitor those during our audit. The second risk factor is fixed assets. We have raised some issues around the controls over fixed assets during our audit of 15-16. So we've been advised the council put in a new system, and we'll be looking at that specific area during our audit. And then this is an area, the third one is an area which we will look at. So council are required to separately review all transaction schemes streams to see that if they have any of these arrangements in place in respect of principal and agency relationships. So we'll be looking to see those, and we have highlighted this in all of our council audits this year. So those are our key risks. And then just the last part I want to bring to your attention is the timetable, which is on page 8. And we've agreed this timetable with officers. You'll see that we are on schedule to produce the certificates for the final date, which is the 30th of September, which we did last year as well. And then I can't not raise that we have our audit fee at 5.3, and the estimated audit fee for the audit is £63,000.
Thanks, Colette. Any questions or comments for Colette? Can I ask members then that members consent to note the Northern Ireland Audit Office audit strategy for 16-17, bearing in mind, obviously, taking into account the considerations at paragraph 1.3, which we're asked to do as an audit committee. So members happy to note that item? Yes, thank you. We then move on to item 6, and Ken Montgomery has joined us with us, and Ken, you're going to take item 6, 7 and 8.
So thank you, Chair.
Take us through item 6, please.
Item 6 is the timetable for the accounts preparation for 2017, and members will recall the report to those charged with governance issued by the Audit Office on the conclusion of their audit of the 15-16 accounts in September last year. One of the major audit findings detailed some of their concerns around the preparation of the accounts, and they suggested a number of recommendations. One of those was to produce a timetable setting out the key roles and responsibilities. And if we go to the timetable for accounts preparation on page 31, it sets out the main key tasks. The first two were attending technical accounting support services training supplied by SIPFA on the technical updates and on the accounts close down. Another key task was to complete the pro forma, which SIPFA produce each year, and we have now put in the comparative figures, i.e. the figures for 15-16, and we have produced a balance sheet and income and expenditure statement and cash flow for those. We're currently working on the draft governance statement and the draft remuneration report. We have this year put all our fixed assets onto a database called RAM, and we have produced a first run of the depreciation for this year, with, and it looks sensible. We need to consider the requirement for revaluing some of our properties, and that is currently being undertaken. We have produced a new MRP policy for 2017-18 during the accounts, the estimate preparation, and we need to have an audit trail for the preparation of the 16-17 MRP. We will be and have done reviewed the landfill provision. We are currently looking at the gas income streams from both the landfill sites. We are looking at a tool that has been supplied by SIPFA as to whether or not there is a requirement to produce group accounts. We have reviewed our accounting policies and will be presenting a new financial regulations to the next SPNR committee. We will be reviewing the general power of competence, which is a new requirement in Northern Ireland for councils. We will be calculating the MRP for this year under the new policy, and we will be doing all the calculations required for the fixed asset calculations, particularly around finance, leases, additions and disposals. We will be completing the management accounts, i.e. getting the figure of whether there was a whether the outcome was favourable or not, and we will be inputting the trial balance to the pro forma, and that will have to be completed by the 19th of May. Thereafter, we will complete the notes and the publishing of the management accounts, leading to the draft accounts being submitted to the audit committee on the 29th of June to be presented to the department by the 30th of June.
Okay. Thanks very much for that, Ken. Any questions or comments for Ken? If I could just say, Ken, just thanks very much for the report and for the comprehensive presentation. And I say the audit committee can take assurance that you know that there's a robust process in place to prepare the accounts for the year end of 16-17. Mark, do you like to? Yeah. Satisfied with that,
yeah.
Councillor Moran. So thanks for that, Ken. So if we go on then to, so members are happy to note the comprehensive, the detailed timetable for the accounts. Thank you. So if you then move on to item 7, Ken, please.
Item 7, Chair, is the prompt payment statistics. In item 2.1, you will note that there was 5,713 invoices processed. 687 of them were paid within the 10 days, which represents 12%, slightly up from the previous quarter where it was just below 8%. Paid within 30 days was 4,994, representing 87%. That is slightly below what the previous quarter was, and that was just above 90%. Paid outside the payment period was 719, which is 13%, and which is slightly above, again, what the quarter was, the previous quarter, which was just below 10%. Unless there are any other questions.
Members, are you happy enough to note this report? Laura?
Thank you, Chair. I suppose, really, thanks very much, Ken, for that. But I suppose these figures still aren't reflecting great. I mean, as a council, we need to be paying people quicker for doing work for us. And I know that the systems, in terms of, and we probably shouldn't be talking old council and new council, but I know in Down and Urien Mourne, we're right in saying that whenever we moved to the new amalgamated council, that we adopted Urien Mourne's system for paying invoices. And again, maybe hearing back third and fourth hand that doesn't seem to be as rapid as what would have been on the Down Council side. So are we taking steps maybe to see what we can do to change that back, or to look at a new system, or what's being done to try and improve this, Ken?
There has been a review carried out as to how we can process the invoices a lot quicker. There was a internal audit just concluded, which gave us certain recommendations as to how we can increase our efficiency, and we are endeavouring to put those into place.
Councillor Devon, I was going to say that really that we will also cover this issue in one of the internal audits, which is item 18 on the agenda, so we'll go into more detail at that item. Okay, thank you. And then item 8, the direct award contracts register. Ken, if you can take us through that, please.
Thank you, Chair. The direct awards contracts or single tender actions occur when any partly or fully funded contract over 5K is awarded to a contractor without competition. Financial year, the council awarded 15 contracts by the way of direct award, and the value of these was approximately $350,000. The list of those 15 contracts is detailed in Appendix 1. And I don't wish to go through those individually. Anybody has any questions?
Yeah, okay. Members, any questions for Ken? Councillor Muir?
Yeah, just one concern for there really, Ken, is the Bridge Centre in Kildare is BCTV, historically supplier via NIO. I could see this maybe on a town centre system or something, but for a system around a building, certainly there's plenty of local suppliers that could have competed for that job, and at the price of that, they must have got a really old singing old dancing CCTV system for the community centre.
Councillor, I am not familiar with that particular purchase, but I can endeavour to investigate as to what the reasoning was behind the award of that contract.
Again, I don't have my minute plan in front of me, but I'm just a paper went to SCNR in February 17 seeking approval around that. Now, I can't recall the detail myself, but certainly I'm just looking, if you look across Councillor Mernon, a more detailed paper went to SCNR in February 17. We can call up the details of that. I wouldn't have them to hand now and let you be aware of the rationale behind that. But you'll see from the report that it was taken through the committee But we can hunt out that paper and send it to you to let you know the specific set of circumstances there.
I thought maybe there might have been an expectation when it went to councillors that it would be went through the tendering process when they were allowing that. You know, I'd be concerned were they made aware that this was just a direct award.
Okay. We'll look into that for you, councillor.
Yeah. Okay, members, we'll get that looked into. Any other questions? No. Ken, just the first one, it's probably very obvious, but is there there's no reason provided? Would you give us the reason for the Northern Ireland Water Limit one, just for the record?
There's an ongoing project, Chair, with Camlach Lake, which is being led by Northern Ireland Water, and Council have agreed to make a 50% contribution to that. That's the payment in the 16-17 year, which is in front of you. The total contract value on that one is, I think it's £3 million, of which we council will pay 50%. So it'll be a total contract value of £1.5 million. So it's because of our partnership arrangement with Northern Ireland Water, we've recorded it here for the purposes of completeness as a direct award.
Okay, that's good. Thanks for that. Are members happy to note the report? Yes, and I think in future now this is for the total for the 16-17 year, and then if we can bring this back on a quarterly basis to the audit committee, you know, so we'll get it each quarter. Okay, thank you. That moves us on to item 9, which is the corporate risk register. Doreena, you're going to take that report.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Members, we're presenting to you today the corporate risk register for your consideration. During the 16-17 year, you'll note that the corporate risk register was considered every 2 months by the SMT. SMT then had a very detailed half-day workshop to give some real detail considered to the corporate risk register just there earlier on in April 17, and a number of changes were made reflecting that detailed review. We spent some time together really looking at any risks that were realised in the period, looking ahead by way of horizon scanning, and considering each of the individual directorate risk registers to determine whether any risk should be escalated to the corporate risk register. So the corporate risk register in front of you reflects very much a current position as considered following that SMT workshop. It's also important to note the new format that you see in front of you. We are now presenting the corporate risk register on our GRACE, a newly configured GRACE risk management system. And there's been lots of work done in the period to get from what was a paper documented system to an IT system. And this gives our staff an easier way of managing recording of the risks. I'm also taking the opportunity today just to provide you with an update on the development of the risk management framework, which, as you know, has been an ongoing piece of work during the 16-17 year. We now have directorate risk registers completed for each of the directorates within Council, and they're also now live on the GRACE system. We are now also completing a assurance statement, and they've been completed for the last 6 months of the 16-17 year, so for the quarter ended December and the quarter ended 31st of March 17, and these form a key part of the corporate control management framework. Again, we've also had a review of risk management in the period by ASM, and Christine will cover that in the report coming later. You'll note importantly at 2.1 that because this is the first time you've seen the corporate risk register on GRACE, we haven't been able to give you a track changes version. This is, I suppose, the first version that you've seen in GRACE. Going forward, we will bring you a track changes so you can see any changes made in the period quite clearly. Happy to take any questions or comments that you have, and this paper's in front of you today for noting, please.
Okay, thanks for that. Doreena, any questions, comments for Doreena?
No,
Okay, members, so we're content to note item 9. Item 10 is the fraud and whistleblowing policy, and it includes as an appendix really the latest cases. Are members happy just to note that report and move on? Yeah, thank you. And Chair, then we'll move to item 11, which is the follow up of the legacy recommendations.
Thank you, Chair. So, at the April 16 Audit Committee, ASAM presented a summary of findings, and these were in respect of internal audit recommendations, which are outstanding from both the Murray Mourne and Down District Councils, so both the legacy councils. The recommendations which were brought forward were from reports that had a limited assurance rating or priority one recommendations. So at April 16, there was a total of 61 recommendations. So the two tables that I have highlight the progress that has been made. I have brought to each quarter since July 16 any of the progress that has been made. So we can see now that 30 of the recommendations have been fully implemented, 7 of them partially implemented, 5 aren't implemented, and then there's 19 which aren't applicable anymore. So I'm just going to give you a brief rundown on the 12 recommendations which are only partially or haven't been implemented. So 4 of these recommendations relate solely to the implementation of items on the IT strategy. This is an ongoing process, and the timing and implementation is being prioritised by both risk and business needs. So the IT strategy, I think, is due for completion in 2019. One relates to STA, or Direct Award Contract Approval, in the purchasing policy. So currently STA approval exists, as we've seen from Ken's report, and they're signed off by either the Chief Executive or Directors, but the purchasing policy is currently not yet to reflect this. Two recommendations relate to the central management process to monitor grantee aid from all departments. This hasn't been implemented as of yet. The Strategic Programs Unit has also transferred responsibility from the 1st of April 17 from SDP to the Active Health of Communities Directorate, and our view of controls operating in this area will take place. Three recommendations relate to review of card payment data in Legacy Down. All of these recommendations have been partially implemented. A new policy was rolled out in January 15, however, training has not yet been rolled out to all staff. And then two recommendations relate to procedures at an outstation that was run in Point Town Hall. One issue relates to asset tagging, which is a Northern Ireland Audit Office report to those charged with governance point, which has been followed up separately. Another issue relates to the time limits of income reports, so finance is following this up with the outstation. There are 19 recommendations which are no longer applicable, and the reasons being is 16 relate to both fleet management and procurement audits in the old councils. These have been superseded by audit reports which were in 15-16 in ASM, so they've been brought onto a new register. One recommendation was similar to another on the report, and one recommendation still isn't due for implementation. And the final recommendation related to debriefing a member of staff who has since retired and the position hasn't been filled. So having discussed the progress to date with our internal auditors, Christine, we consider it to be more beneficial for the council in allocating further audit time and following up internal audit recommendations arising from the recent reviews undertaken in Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. The legacy recommendations are being superseded by current and then future audit reports, and some may never be implemented or may no longer be applicable. So it is recommended that the legacy recommendations will be continued to be implemented and overseen by myself, but going forward I bring forward a new report to the Audit Committee which will detail all recommendations since the 1st of April 15, recommendations ASAM have made since the time they have taken over.
Okay, members, any questions or comments for Jared? Councillor Muir?
Yeah, Jared, are you saying that you'll continue with the old recommendation, following up the old items for areas that haven't been audited by ASM to date in the new council?
I'll still be monitoring the old recommendations, but there's been significant progress, so I'm going to bring forward a new report which will just detail ASM's recommendations since 1st of April 15, but the old recommendations will still be followed up on. It's just we've made a lot of progress, so we want to move on and try and get the most recent recommendations implemented. But these will still be kept on file, and I will still keep a record of them and keep chasing them.
Okay, Christine.
Just to maybe add to the point that's made, I suppose from our perspective, you know, we have a limited number of audit days to look at follow up, and if we were to continue to pursue when there's not a services manager that can do that, then it becomes less valuable in terms of the use of our time. We have 11 recommendations that are outstanding from our previous work that we did last year, and we've made 54 recommendations this year that we will need to follow up on next year. And I think that the better use of our days, from our perspective, and let George continue with the legacy issues, so that provides members with some comfort.
I think it's important to note and give the audit committee some assurance we're not forgetting about any recommendations. They're not going to drop off. So with Jared, we'll continue to keep focused on those. And so just to give you an assurance that it's not that we are saying that we're not going to see them through. It's just that the focus is really on the current recommendations coming out of this new council and the current internal audit contract, to be clear.
Yeah. Okay, members, just to say that I'm content with the proposed way forward. I'd like to just record that significant progress has been made on the follow-up of the legacy recommendations, so quite a lot of them now have been implemented. Those that remain outstanding will not be forgotten about. They will be held on file, and they will be picked up in future audits going forward, and Jared will still keep a watching brief. But just from an audit committee perspective, and particularly from an internal audit perspective, we will not spend much time. We'll focus on the more recent ones, the outstanding recommendations for Newry Morden Down Council going forward, rather than those that, you know, have become dated and relate to the legacy councils. Okay, members, so we're happy to... Could I have a proposer and seconder? Just we need approval for this item. Councillor Devlin, proposed, and Councillor Brown, second. And then item 12, just to welcome Kate Bingham to the meeting. You're very welcome, Kate, and you're going to take us through item 12, which is the Performance Improvement Plan.
You'll all have received the report and documentation outlining the Council's draft performance improvement objectives for 2017-18. Just by way of background, through the Local Government Act 2014, the Council is required to put in place performance improvement objectives every year and to put in place arrangements to secure continuous improvement in the exercise of our functions. You'll note from the documentation that the Council is proposing 5 draft performance improvement objectives, which focus on a range of themes such as health and wellbeing, economic development and tourism, regeneration, the environment and community engagement. These objectives are all directly linked to our community planning outcomes and our corporate priorities, and we're seeking to have a real impact on the ground, and that we will try to improve the quality of life for local people and demonstrate how they're going to be better off as a result of the improvements that we're planning to make. Underpinning and supporting each objective, we have a range of actions and measures which have been developed in liaison with staff across the organisation, and many of these the Council has already committed to doing through existing plans and strategies such as the Play Strategy and Tourism Strategy. In terms of the process for developing the Performance Improvement Plan, this has been done with the SMT and with assistant directors and their teams across the organisation. They've also been considered by the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee in March, and we are currently consulting on the draft objectives and engaging with communities in a range of ways through the DEA forum meetings, we're going to youth council meetings, older persons forum meetings, a survey on the website, so we're carrying out a fairly comprehensive consultation exercise. Once this finishes on the 19th of May, we will analyse the results and use the results to inform the final draft of the performance improvement objectives, which will then go back to SPNR for approval with a view to being published on the Council's website on the 30th of June. Similar to last year, the Northern Ireland Audit Office will carry out an assessment of our performance management arrangements and our track record of delivering improvement, and in addition to the forward-looking assessment that we had last year, we're also going to go through a more robust and in-depth retrospective assessment of the arrangements they have in place during 2016-17 to deliver improvement and basically to deliver continuous improvement. In preparation for this, we're going to be developing an assessment for submission to the Audit Office by September, and together this overall assessment will help the local government auditor to decide whether the council has complied with its duty to improve. So members are basically asked to note and consider the performance improvement objectives and our overall process and approach to developing these objectives this year.
Okay, thanks for that, Kate. Any questions, comments for Kate on the performance improvement plan? So members were asked to note the performance improvement plan today. As I say, the lead committee for this will be SPNR, who will approve, and from an audit committee perspective, we'll be interested in the process in particular, and the consultation and all of that. And so I think, Kate, we'll continue to receive regular reports here for noting. And of course, whenever the audit is completed, you know, we will receive the Northern Ireland audit report to the audit committee as well. So thanks for that, Kate. The next three items are circulars, and Dorina, you're going to take us through these quickly, please.
Yeah. The first circular is the template for councillors' alliances. This is issued by the Department of Communities annually, and you'll be aware that at the end of the financial year, councils are obligated to publish details of the alliances page to each individual councillor and committee member. You'll also note that in the audit strategy presented by the Northern Ireland Audit Office, the local government auditor has indicated this year that we are to provide a copy of this to return to her alongside the remuneration report. It makes reference in the circular to a new format, and this has previously been discussed at the efficiencies working group, and it's been agreed at that level that once we have prepared this in finance, we will circulate this to all councillors ahead of publication to allow you the opportunity to check for factual accuracy and to be aware of what information is going into the public domain. So we will circulate that as soon as that's ready to all members. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions? No.
Okay. Then moving on to item 14 then. Again, this is to bring to your attention a circular issued by the Department of Communities, which consolidates councillors' alliances. We brought this to the attention of the SPNR committee previously, and just to let you be aware that our systems have been updated from the 1st of April to reflect the increase in the basic alliance, and the other increases will also take effect from that date. So that's brought to your attention today for noting.
Okay.
So moving on to item 15 again, just to bring to the attention of the audit committee that the Department for Communities have issued their annual accounts direction. This contains all of the detail by which we must prepare our accounts, and I want to give the audit committee assurance that we will be following all the guidance provided in producing our annual report and accounts for the 16-17 year. So again, that's for noting.
Okay, members happy to note? Okay, thank you. That now brings us on to the closed session, which contains items 16 to 28. These items are deemed restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during this item, these items of business. Could I have a proposal and seconder, please, to go into closed session? Thank you. We will now take a lot of closed items. If I can maybe just go through this along with that. So for the purposes of the audio recording, during closed sessions, it was agreed to note the following papers presented, which was the internal audit summary report, the report from internal audit on fleet management, the internal audit report on accounts payable, internal audit report on risk management, cash handling, community centres, follow-up review by internal audit, report on the big screen review. It was also agreed to note the draft annual assurance report. And then it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Moran and Councillor Brown to approve the draft internal audit plan for 2017-18. It was also agreed to note the officer's report on the assurance statements and on the draft governance statement. And then it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Moran and seconded by Councillor Devlin to approve the renewal of the internal audit contract for 2017-18. And that brings the meeting to a close. And can I thank everybody for their attendance and contribution. Okay.